Sports, mankind's greatest endeavor. For centuries, it has separated the boys from the men, football players from their brainstems, and continues to this day to spark the fire of healthy competition in the hearts of its players.
Thank you for helping us get our kung fu back.
Welcome back, brothers.
Apocalypse Video and Morton Hoof Auto present the third installment of Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest. Live from the Thunderdome in Citadel, it's the Summer Games.
It's coming back.
What did you say?
I can feel it. Their power's coming back.
Exciting installment of Hot Dave Summer Film Fest, Part 3, The Summer Game. I'm Bobby Unitas, and have we got a show for you today, folks. Stepping onto the field for the first time. They used to use their powers for enlightenment, now they're using them to kick grass and take names. Please. Welcome to the Thunderdome, Stephen Chow and his fellow Kung Fu Masters, as they change the game and introduce the world to Shaolin Soccer!
It was an art practiced through the ages. It was a skill passed down through generations. For six believers, it was more than martial arts. It was a way of life. It was Shaolin. But in a time when honor is a thing of the past, they turn their backs on their beliefs, except for one. Now, he is reuniting his best friends to apply an ancient art to a modern sport. It'll take practice. It'll take time. It'll take the power of one last player. Because they're not just taking on the odds, they're taking on the most ruthless team ever assembled. And the only way to win is to believe in Shaolin. Get ready. The sensation that swept Asia off its feet is coming to conquer America. Learn it. Live it. But be careful how you use it. Stephen Chow. Shaolin Soccer.
Are you guys ready to kick some grass?
Yeah.
Wow, crickets. Okay. I would have thought after the movie you guys just watched that you'd be so pumped up.
We are. I am ready to kick some goals.
Oh, okay.
Kick some goals.
I'm your host, Dave. Welcome to Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Part 3, The Summer Games, and what will probably be our most insane entry, I think. I'm going to call the shot. This is going to be the most insane, batshit wild movie that we watch for this promotion this year. I'm joined again, of course, by my fellow monks, Ryan.
Ryan, your microphone covers all the sound.
I think your computer's muting yourself. Like we heard the start of that, and then there's nothing else.
It's recorded. No, it recorded that. That was me starting
the
song.
It was such a high frequency that the microphone detected.
It's just like
I was starting to sing a song, you know, for my my little dumpling
the
gal,
cakes, the sweetie cakes or whatever,
little sweetie dumplings.
A little salty, but still good, Ryan. I'm also joined by our own evil coach, Morton Hoof.
Phone home like E.T., Dave. You don't belong on Earth.
A wild E.T. reference out of nowhere.
I don't know. There's this dude loves Spielberg, man. It's all over the movie. It's not random.
And finally, our own little special guy who we found in the forest, I don't know where I'm going with that. our old friend, Cody.
I want to say hello to my parents and my kung fu master, but they're all dead.
This movie was Shaolin Soccer. Morton Hoof, this was your pick, and I gotta say, this is one of the more enjoyable movie experiences I've had as of late. Like, I kind of compare it to the movie experience I had to watching RRR. Not quite the same level, but sort of the same soccer field. I was gonna say ballpark, but soccer field, so to say.
It's a pitch.
Like, did you guys have a similar experience? Like, do you know what I'm kind
of
getting at?
I agree with you. Just in terms of that kind of wild ride of enthusiasm,
like can't believe you're seeing this.
Yeah, kind of upping the ante every consecutive sequence. I definitely got that.
Yeah, for
sure. Well, and especially with the humor too. Like you mentioned, Cody, there are moments that are legitimately funny. Like I want to thank my parents, but all that, but they're all dead.
No, yeah, this movie through is fucking hysterical.
No, it's bits like just
Bit
constant.
City.
Yeah, Bit City.
I was dying at the no peeing on the wall.
That's such a good...
Yes! Before we get into it, there are so many good bits that you're like, damn, this movie's just like boom, 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 and it's not... It's never like, oh, isn't that silly? It's just like, it is just played straight, but it's you know, very funny.
But I think to Dave's point, I think he's right, because it does share that kind of similarity to RRR in terms of that, like, really great tonal balance where it's just, like, action-packed, really engaging, exciting, and all this stuff, and then switch to very, like, funny and humorous and just kind of
feeling good. And there's some heartfelt stuff going in there, too. It's cool. Yeah. I liked it a lot. This is one I've been wanting to watch.
It's so weird because
30 years, basically.
I think the reason I chose this is because I thought I had seen it sometime in my life when I was a kid. I have like a really vague memory of a couple scenes and stuff like that, but I never knew if it was really that movie or whatever. And we were thinking of sports movies. I'm like, oh, well, that's a kind of a wacky one. So, and sure enough, I have seen this once before. So I did see it when I was a kid. I don't know how old I was, but I definitely remember it. It's so funny, and it's still, I can see why, like, as a kid, I would really like this too, because it's kind of like Dragon Ball Z and the soccer
film. I was going to say, it kind of, the look of some of the, like, special effects and stuff, it reminded me of Power Rangers. Yeah. Like, it reminds me of that kind of, you know, amped up stuff where they're just like, yeah, and the ball's on fire, and like, because it feels
it
like
turns into a fire tiger.
Yeah, these the CGI of this era, right, there is a vibe to it. There is definitely a definitive vibe that you see when you're watching, like, you know, foreign like Japanese or Chinese movies.
Isn't
like this.
There one is that... cut where the guy has like his aura is like a demon face, like the black
at the end,
he has that black aura, and it's like, oh, it's so cool. It's like, oh yeah, that's
what's. It's funny, like it is early 2000s era CG, and typically it doesn't hold up, I would say. However, with this type of movie, stylistically, what they're doing with the CGI that doesn't hold up renders that whole thing meaningless.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the CGI doesn't hold up because it's like you're saying, it is. It's not meant to look realistic ever.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
What's funny. I was gonna say, like, because it's mostly that damn ball, and but the thing is like, I think in the games when it's like the wide stuff, I think it looks good. I think it looks. Yeah. It's mostly when it's like close up and they're like balancing it, like on like that's like the part where I'm like, oh, they're still working that out. But I think it looks good in like, when it's like far away. Power. Yeah,
Even though I hear what you're saying, we're like, oh, they're figuring it out. I feel like they figured it out enough. They were just like, this is what we want it to be. We're not trying for photorealism. It's absurd. Like, this is a cartoon movie.
I don't know if in terms of like master planning, like if it's as far goes as far as what Cody's saying, but I do think like for me seeing the way it looks, it doesn't take me out of the experience at all, or it doesn't even seem awkward really, because it tracks with the rest of the tone of the movie. Just
well, it's because we're watching a live action manga.
It's one that I remember seeing the preview for it, because I would have been like playing soccer at this point.
You know what though? Something I was thinking of is that I am kind of grateful I did see this as a kid, because I definitely didn't see Matrix when I was a kid, and so this was at least I had this in my head and I had seen some, you know, rough form of that kind of thing.
Yeah, when 1999 rolled around, and then I guess 2001 with this, like you had. Every kid was given one choice. Do you see The Matrix or do you see Shaolin Soccer? Because those represent the same thing, but you have to choose to spec. You're like, oh, I'm a Matrix kid. I'm a Shaolin Soccer kid.
Yeah. I mean, looking back, it wasn't really I don't feel like it was my choice which camp I actually fell into. But nonetheless, you're absolutely right. It was a very well-known rivalry.
Well, because Crouching Tiger was the year before this, too. So there's like that. It's the ripple of the Matrix was crazy.
I'm just imagining an alternate universe where Nick watched Matrix instead of Shaolin Soccer and drank soda instead of not.
Oh, God. What would I be?
Instead of not.
Who would I be then?
Yeah, you would have turned into Dave, Ryan, or myself.
Well, like, would we have found Nick, like, inside, like, a supermarket with, like, chips glued to his face? You know what I mean?
Funny when they meet that character. Yeah, he's just got, like, different sized chip crumbs, like, glued to his face.
As he's working.
Yeah, it's a good, I love this, and it's one that I always, I saw the trailer, I remember, and I don't know why I never watched it. I think I was just like, that looks weird, and I'm kind of interested, but I just never had a chance to see it, but I remember seeing the cover for my whole life, you know, or not my whole life.
I think
but.
I must have seen this because whoever was getting whatever, however we were learning about movies, I think we were also watching, like, what's that other one, like Kung Pao? Or Kung Fu Hustle or something like that.
Kung Fu Hustle is his second, is the
movie after this.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So I think that was like on our radar too. So
Kung Fu Hustle was definitely on my radar. I
think
that was
me too.
A big movie when it came out.
Yeah. I was working at the theater when that came out too. And I think that's what kind of put the two and two together. Because this guy's like one of the most successful directors in the world, basically, Stephen Chow and everything. And it's crazy. Like, The Mermaid, like his movies are like always like the top grossing movie of China until the next, until something else beats it.
So. It's really interesting for me personally, because I remember I actually went and I saw The Mermaid in theaters, and I didn't really know who Stephen Chow, like it didn't really click at all, like who he was or anything like that. And I just remember being like, it was such a bizarre experience. Like it's kind of like very crazy, like in the strain of Shaolin Soccer. But his movies are just, I like Shaolin Soccer is so cool because he's just going for it. He's having a blast and just doing like breaking all the rules and just doing what he wants because things are cool and it looks awesome. And
he puts everything he likes like in the on screen basically.
Dance sequences out of nowhere, which is one of my favorite things. Yeah. Well, for anyone who hasn't seen Shaolin Soccer, let's get into it. Nick, this is your pick. Why don't you explain the plot of Shaolin Soccer?
Well, I mean, the plot, I guess, to keep it to the short version is basically that these two teammates had either some rivalry or the guy's just an asshole, and he breaks his teammate's leg, and the one teammate who has a broken leg, he kind of becomes, he loses his ability to play soccer, and so he becomes, like, a henchman of this other guy who rises in fame. And he has a
Mr.
team called
Evil.
Team
he don't
Evil
know if he has a
team
name.
Evil.
Yes.
So they basically fast forward, and now the guy who has his leg broken, he wants to make his own team, and he finds all these different Shaolin practitioners, and he recruits a team, and they're just training and. Similar to kind of Little Giants, it's leading to an ultimate face-off between Team Evil and the Shaolin team, and it's just a crazy wild ride, and they keep upping the crazy abilities of these soccer players.
As their power meter charges.
Yeah, they get power auras, and they They break walls.
Oh, guys, I want to thank you. I got my kung fu powers back. Like, that's not an exact line, but a line like that is spoken in the movie. I want to thank you for getting my powers back.
There's a guy, so I don't know, Cody, do you know what it's called? Like, when the guy channels, like, the energy to put the ball on his stomach? Like, is there a phrase for that? I'm assuming the way I took it was he's channeling, like, energy to concentrate the ball on his stomach, and it was basically walking around with the ball.
His name is Iron Shirt, and yeah, his whole thing is like weathering bludgeoning blows with his stomach. It's the idea of, like, when you're a Shaolin master, your core is so strong you can just, like, hold anything. And that's what he's doing, is he's holding the ball. So it's like not counting as holding the ball in soccer, right? He's just like, oh, my muscles are so powerful, I can, like, I can alter gravity in front of my navel.
Yeah, they all have, like, each monk has, like, a specialized skill. So, yeah. Like, there's a guy who's, like, leg. That's, you know, that's the main guy. His leg is
Mighty Steel Leg.
Mighty Steel Leg. And then the guy whose leg was broken, Golden Leg, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Golden Leg.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I love the just the whole bit of, like, these guys were all these, like, awesome Shaolin, you know, kung fu masters, and their master died, and they all kind of split off and got old and, like, got real jobs and stuff, or bums or whatever they are, you know.
That's kind of like
they get the band back together. It's a bit get yeah, band back together.
It is.
Yeah, no, like, and that's kind of that in lines, like, kind of one of two. I love the movie. I thought it was great. But if there were two issues I can find with it, and this might be solved by a longer cut that might exist, because we watched an 88-minute version of this movie, and there were two big things I couldn't help but notice that I'm wondering, like, is this in an alternate cut of this movie, a longer cut? And the first one being the breakup of the team, so to speak. You know, we don't see them as their Shaolin monks or whatever. We never see that. Not that you necessarily need to.
We do.
But
we do see that a little bit. We see, like, photos of them as kids training.
Well,
together.
I mean, like, an actual, like, scene of them back then. You know what I mean? Like, we don't see, and it's not necessarily a detriment to the movie, but it was something I noticed. I'm just like, it's kind of odd that, like, they the whole getting the band back together scene, but we've never seen the band before. Like, we only see the band in the getting the band back together, and it's not necessarily, like, the movie doesn't necessarily suffer from it, because, like, the movie is so insane, and you kind of get to know the characters through these.
I would bet money that you can get away with that, because it's the equivalent of being like, we're watching a medieval European movie, and we know the knights got, you know, it's like, you know what knights are, like, In Hong Kong, they've seen enough movies of monks living Shaolin monks living together. It's like, we know that shit. We already know what a kung fu monk lifestyle is. So we don't need to go back to it. We understand that relationship.
And it's funny now that they're living like this now.
Yeah.
I just feel like it would have been a more satisfying to see, like, a character arc with them, like, just how they broke up, where they used to be to where they are now. Like, it would have hit a bit more knowing their past and seeing them. You know what I mean? And I can't help but wonder, because, like, when I go online to look for, like, info for this movie, all the websites say the runtime is 113 minutes. But I'm like, wait a minute. The one we watched was only 88 minutes. And weirdly, I didn't do a ton of research, but I couldn't find, like, anything describing, like, you know, any alternate scenes or anything. Because another big one that I had was, you mentioned, Nick, in the plot synopsis, that Golden Leg, he ends up taking a fall. He purposefully misses, the movie opens with Golden Leg in this big championship match, and he purposefully misses a shot. He takes a fall. And Mr. Evil, I don't know if he necessarily has a name in the movie, the guy who will become the leader of the evil
something.
Team. Yeah, he arranges to break the guy's leg. And then we cut to years later, and I guess for some reason, even though he got his leg broken, he's like, Mr. Evil. He's like his lackey. And that's another thing where I'm just
like...
Well,
it's like a, George McFly
relationship. Yeah, it's like a George McFly thing, and it kind of would have been nice to see more of that, to know why he would have agreed to do that, why he would have been his lackey for so long, you know what I mean?
Well, he didn't know, Golden Leg didn't know that Hung had arranged for his leg to be broken.
Well, sure, and but we can see, like, within context, within the scene, that this guy is an asshole.
Yeah,
so
but the other...
Why would he agree to be with this guy for, like, 20 years?
Well,
he's his fucking brother,
bro. they tried to explain
that would have been a cool thing to find out.
Not his biological brother. It's that they were brothers in soccer. And he was like, I took the fall. I agreed. You wanted me to do the thing and I did it. And then it, like a terrible thing happened. And then you took care of me. I broke my leg and I was worthless to soccer. And you still let me be around.
Give me a job.
Just like that Marlon Brando relationship in On the Waterfront.
But is that in the movie? Do they say that in the movie, though?
They do say one thing at least. So the so Golden Leg, I guess his character's name is Fung. Mm-hmm. So he explicitly has a line to the guy that says, okay, if you like work here long enough or something, you get to do your own – you get to coach your own team. Mm-hmm. And that's what Fung was thinking was going to happen. But the only thing that happened in the movie was we just saw that last conversation, which basically like one of their snapping points. And he's just like, you know what? I'm not going to even trick you anymore. You're just not never going to have your dream.
I guess I just like for me, it would have been again, like I love the movie and these aren't like points where I'm like, you know, it ruined the movie or anything that these weren't here. I just think it would have been
so sorry. I made it would have enriched these.
Yeah. Scenes. Jesus Christ. Dave, I can't.
No, I'm just saying it would have enriched these scenes to get the, you know, the backstories more of these characters. Cause it's kind of like, it's literally like we get the backstory in one line and it's not quite as.
I think enjoyable. I might agree with you on the team, like to see them in the past playing. I think that would have been a cool scene to see, but I don't think I need the bat, like the in between of what we saw between Evil Guy and Golden Leg, because that's kind of like, I think that also fits the tone of the movie where it's like very quick and kind of like punchy, and it's just like, you know, they're not, this is not gonna like serve, like it's just too much, or this type of movie doesn't need that to me, at least for that part, in my opinion.
I think that too. It's just kind of like, I mean, you fill in the gaps, and they say it. Like, there's not. I didn't feel like there was something I was missing, like a beat or whatever for it. But
no, I'm just saying, I would have been. I would have appreciated it. Like, it's Cody. Not like, you know, it's not like it ruined the movie for me in any way. But it would have been nice to see those things.
I have found the differences between the heavily cut international version and the uncut director's cut. There is about 25 minutes cut. There appears to be an important scene in the beginning where Golden Leg and Hung are in the locker room and Hung tries to bribe him. Golden Leg isn't injured yet, so he doesn't accept the check, yells at Hung and ties his shoelaces on top of his head. He eventually takes the check. Then this explains why he fails to score in the next scene. So it looks like there's like a scene in the locker room of them kind of like
before the goal, before shootout.
The goal kick. Mm. Yeah. So there's a scene there where they're kind of like heated between each other.
Cut it.
There. It looks like there's a guest.
Ryan, the editor, merciless with these cuts.
There is censorship of Golden Leg. The young Golden Leg is hit much more often and screams with the face contorted with pain. So that whole injury scene, they cut some of that.
That would have been.
It seems like mostly it's like a few seconds. So what I'm seeing so far, it seems like each scene has a bunch of extra seconds. And let's see here. There's a 30-second scene. This is probably
a
great
the
audio
Blu-ray,
that I'm scrolling through.
Because I think it's OP now, but because it is interesting, like on Amazon, you can only get the shorter cut.
Yeah, it looks like the other big thing that gets cut is like when scenes get, when there's more violence in scenes. So scenes happen and then there's like more blood or something, they cut those. But otherwise, I don't see a ton of fully new scenes.
My guess is that they kind of like, because I think when this movie came out, they were sort of gearing it to kids, like playing soccer 100%. And stuff, I think. Yeah. And I think that was a... I could see it. Like, I would have... If I saw this in theaters, I would have loved it kind of thing, too, I think. Because it is short, like an animated movie would be, you know? So.
Yeah, you know, I do. I will say, as I was watching it, it did feel very quick and rushed in the beginning. But it was something that I was very I forgave very easily. I didn't really bother me or anything like that. So, I mean, to Dave's point, I can see why he might want a little bit more there. But I think at least for me, it was still fine.
Yeah, and the other, it looks like the only other scene that only exists. So there's like basically, each scene has a couple extra seconds. There's two big scenes that don't exist in the international cut. That's the beginning scene. And then there's a scene where Mighty Steel Leg introduces Mui to his teammates, and he fights her boss. It's like a 4-minute scene where he fights her boss.
That's fun.
Oh, man. I wanted to say that.
But that isn't a scene that does anything of what Dave's asking, is my point.
Well, interesting, because it's just like the only other thing I can think of that it would have been nice to see a bit of expanded on is like there's a, so you mentioned Mui, that's a character we haven't really mentioned yet. So she is a character that he Golden Leg or not Golden Leg, was it Mighty Leg? Mighty Steel Leg. He kind of like finds on the street, and she's making these like dumplings.
Finds on the street makes it sound like she's like a homeless.
At a stand. She's at a stand.
She's working her job.
She's working a food job.
She's a street vendor with like food.
Yeah, he like
walks like a food truck.
Yeah, and she kind of she repairs his shoes for him, his beaten up shoes. She repairs.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Form this relationship, and it's kind of nice. And then later in the movie, as the Shaolin team starts winning games and they get sponsorship by like Puma, presumably
Puma everywhere.
She's just like, hey, I really like you, and then like he's just like, no, I like you as a friend. Like it seems very abrupt. Like, and it would have been nice. And like, and I guess the suggestion of the scene is just like, no, like it's all about the team and this and that. And the suggestion, at least that I got, was that he was kind of like tempted by the allure of all their success and all that stuff, and he didn't have time for her. You know what I mean? And it seemed to me, it didn't ruin the movie by any means, but it did feel very abrupt, this turn that he has, where he's just like essentially like, I don't have time for you.
Yeah, I didn't think that was the like, case what? Necessarily. Nick, what's up?
So I think I see what you're saying, Dave, but I actually think the scene was meant to portray kind of the consequences of success and greed and money and all that stuff. And it in that moment, at least, it corrupted him basically, and he lost sight of like what was really important.
Well, yeah,
I have a different take on it a little, actually, but I think it's because she like when got that all made up and everything, and he wasn't really into that anymore.
That's exactly
what
he
wasn't liking it.
100% what it was, because that's his whole thing with her, is that it's like, hey, you're great, you're awesome at Tai Chi, like you're wonderful at Kung Fu, what you're doing, you are perfect as you are. And he keeps trying to gas her up the whole movie. He's like, you gotta believe in yourself, you gotta have this confidence. And so she takes that and then tries to do this thing to make herself over, and he's just like, yo, this isn't you. You're not listening to the message, right? Which is like, be true to yourself. And so when at the end she comes back around, you know, and she joins the team, she's done herself up like a monk. Man. It's like, right, yes, you're being true to yourself, which isn't the surface of you. It is your kung fu in your heart.
You guys are saying that he did actually like rejected her in a sense on purpose to like get her to see.
No, I don't think on purpose. I just think he was just like,
he's not into the shoulder pads look.
It wasn't like he, I don't think he was like swayed by greed. I don't think he was, and he didn't do it on accident. He was just like, yo, not like this. Like, you're trying the wrong way. Like, I don't like you like this. And
he did say that he was like, you do seem more confident though. He was excited about that.
And that's what he's like, but you do seem confident and that's cool. Like that was the thing.
You don't need to be like all made up and have your shoulder pads and hair done. Cause he liked the emo, you know, look kind of thing. You know, he liked the nerdy emo, the sad, the tired girl look, you know, he's into that.
Mostly that moment when he tastes her salty with tears,
that was
residue left behind, like little cakes at the end. That cheered me up. That
was good. I love that scene when he kind of gets that image of her crying, like tears falling into the, I don't know,
yeah.
If it's dough.
He's
or,
like, mm.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they mentioned that the buns were too salty. And
yeah,
stuff.
They were salty.
And then it's such a good gag too that at the end of the movie when they win and it does the whole newspaper thing and it pans out and it says like striker marries goalie first or something like that, or a league first.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because in the moment at the end, we're kind of skipping to the end here, but the moment at the end where it's like, are they going to embrace? Are they going to kiss? No, I guess not. But then the next shot, paper, they married. Like, oh, okay.
There's another really funny part of that. Like ending scene where they win is there's this. Did you guys notice that there was this character? He first shows up when there's a guy trimming hedges, and he's like,
Oh, yes. Yeah,
you know, you're not doing a good job, you're fired, or whatever. And this guy shows up like three or four times in different scenarios. And like, so the first one, he's like firing this guy, and the second, the last part, he's like giving the award to them or the trophy to them or something like that. It's just funny that he's popping up.
That's kind of the other, that one of the underlying points of the movie, like the character of Singh or Mighty Steel Leg, his big thing in the beginning is like, I want to like teach the world Kung Fu and teach everyone that Kung Fu could be used in every aspect of your life. Like, oh, you see that girl? She's trying to parallel park. If she had Kung Fu, she'd be able to do it better.
I love the Kung Fu-topia that he creates at the end.
Yes!
Yeah, there's so many good, like, you know, Looney Tunes Simpsons gags, because then at the end, when it pans up to show that they're on the cover of Time, and it says that the Kung Fu craze has hit America. Mm-hmm. And then it says in really small that they win the bowling championship. You see that?
No, I missed that.
It's like it's like a small tag that the couple, you know, Singh and is it Mui? Yeah. That they won the international bowling championship or something. So,
and that makes sense, because that is the most American sport of all, as we know.
I think that's the joke, is that they went to America and won the bowling league, whatever. So.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so there's so many gags like that. Just like little, like you mentioned earlier, like the freaking can't pee on the wall thing. So funny.
Well, one of my favorite gags of the movie is like they establish their Shaolin powers during this this training match with these people that beat him up earlier in the movie, and the suggestion is like, oh man, they're gonna be unbeatable. There's no way any team could possibly beat them. Cut to Mr. Evil and his team, and they're literally training underwater. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Oh my god. Okay, I gotta give this joke just killed me. When they play that team in the beginning and the freaking wrench falls out of the guy's shorts and he says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a mechanic.
Yeah.
I got to keep this on me at all times. You never know when I might need it. I'm always on call, you see. See, here we go. Now that I've got the three things that I would have liked to have seen out of the way, from here on out, it's probably going to be nothing but the Chris Farley show. Like, this was great. This was awesome. This was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's one of those movies.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm trying to think of other little things. It's a lot of I mean, it's like you said, it's a little Giants. It's
But I do just like kind of. I like the way that it feels like their powers are kind of like escalating as the movie goes on. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
And the opponents rise as well in that. Like, so that one scene with the one match with the two women with the mustaches, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was the Team Dragon. Yeah.
Like that was cool too, because then they started doing, you know, they had like kind of abilities too, and they started meeting them, and then I love the final match. I think it's really cool, especially some of the stuff that they do that's just like obviously just cool factor, like the black aura, like I think.
But imaginative stuff too, like just like the guy catching the ball and it just like his like skin like, or is it just like, oh, I love like if their
shirts blast off. It's like
their jersey,
like
getting like,
I mean, honestly, that's what
anime shirt. Yeah, it's so fun. And then remember that one scene where he like moves the goalpost with his hand, and it's just like using, I don't know, just like clever shit that's like obviously not possible, but it's just so cool that it could happen in this movie.
Well, and I like that in that match they like constantly give the goalie of Team Evil like these like glamour shots, you know, it's just like him posed and the wind's blowing in his hair and he's just like looking evil, and you're like, oh man, how are they gonna get it past him? We know nothing about this guy. We didn't see him during the Team Evil training, but we just know like, damn, this guy's powerful.
Well, there was a Team Evil training sequence in the pool, remember that? He was like training Mewtwo or something.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, it was just a kid.
That's my point, Ryan. We didn't see him specifically. Yeah. Like the movie didn't call out like this guy is their most powerful entity, but then in that game we just see him in all these cool shots. And you're like, he must be made of stern stuff.
And I would argue that's like, to me, anime-esque, where a character is like, basically a whole story is told just by the way they look, in a sense, or the way they're introduced. And I think this movie does that for several characters like that.
I think all those, even the side little guys, like
every character gets that. And what's so funny, you mentioned DBC. There are a few moments in the final matchup when they just abandon all pretense of it being a game, and it's just like, we're all of our players are going to stand in a line, and we're just going to try kicking at the goalie. You know what I mean? Like, we're not even trying to get a goal necessarily. We're just kicking at the goalie.
Well, I very much like
the Shaolin players are like, we'll just let them do this, I guess.
I very much like when Mighty Steel Leg, earlier in the movie, before he's decided soccer is the way to go, right? He's like, no, I don't want to fight. Like, Kung Fu isn't about fighting. And these people want to beat him up, so then he plays soccer and kicks the shit out of them by using the soccer ball, right? And so I do like that in this movie, there is no kung fu martial arts fight. It's moves in soccer, which then, you know, might injure somebody or... even that scene where
kill
they're kicking
an entire
the
ball. Team.
Even in the scene where they're kicking the ball, they are trying to score the goal. That goal is just so good, so they're like, "All right, we're going to wear them down." But it's like another version of this movie that wasn't Shaolin Soccer, which was instead just, you know, Shaolin War. It would be all of them ganging up and beating one guy to death. You know what I mean? Like that's what they're doing, but they're playing soccer. So it's just a
that's
very
Mr. Evil's plan. He directly he says like, "There's more than one way to win. We're going to kill their entire team, basically." Until they have to forfeit.
Well, it's sort of like, I mean, to be honest, you could take, I mean, this is not what this movie is, but in a way, you could take out all the kung fu things and just have it be like, this is super, you know, just regular soccer stuff. And just, it seems like supernatural, just like having that ball like pop up around someone's head and get it in the goal, you know, in certain ways and stuff. I mean, this is, if it's a straight up sports movie. Like, they're not doing anything really like, I didn't see any like offsides going on. I didn't see any like rules getting broken.
I love it, Ryan. I love it.
And
that's
as a
Ryan's
jock,
review
he
of the
can
movie.
Vouch for the rules. Yeah. They were all being followed meticulously. It was all accurate.
And we all know Ryan has been the ref of the film festival. Like he's always got his hand on the goal. I'll give you a yellow card if these rules aren't followed in this movie.
Ryan's review of this movie, 4 out of 4 stars. It's a straight up sports movie.
It is, in a way. Like, I mean, it's like, yeah, Mighty Ducks is probably a close one. You know, and they do like soup. There's always doing things in that, but I don't know. It's one of my favorite little bits was like in the first match where there's like the test, and where like the ball like sucks up all the shoes and uses them as like projectiles and stuff. That was really fun.
I didn't know, Ryan, earlier you mentioned that Stephen Chow that's the director of the movie and the star. He's like one of the most profitable directors or whatever, big directors in the world. I didn't know that because watching this, I was like, oh, this must be the guy's like first stab at a movie because he's putting everything he likes in the movie. He's like, here's my war movie. That scene when they're doing that and then he's like running, you know, he's crawling through the field and it's made to look like a war movie. This movie's his horror movie.
Oh yeah.
When
that's another Steven Spielberg reference with the, Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
It's all over this movie. There's Jurassic Park. Remember, there's the whole thing with like,
I didn't think of the fact that these are almost all straight up Steven Spielberg moments.
Well, still just those few bits, you know.
Because there's also the horror movie one, right, where the guys come to Ironhead's job and it's like it's a slasher POV, right? And he's like, you know, it's just the movie has everything. There is a 3 second, you know, a 5 second, 10 second scene of every genre in this movie. And it's wonderful.
It's like made by a guy who's under the impression he might not never get to make another movie again. So he's like, I got to put everything into this movie.
Yeah, which is like not the case, right? The guy had 4 successful movies before then, which I think makes it even cooler almost that he's like, yeah, here's everything. I'm going to do everything.
This looks like it's the first one he didn't have a co-director on, too. So. Ah.
But looking at the trivia, he even starred in like some early John Woo movies in the 80s.
His style reminds me of, at least in the terms of what I would call as like successful extremism, like just like it being crazy things and they really work. Like to me, that reminds me of like old Peter Jackson, just these kinds of artists that can just go crazy and make it work. Because I mean, obviously there's ambitious movies that don't work so well, but this one, I think RRR is actually a really good recent comparison because I think I can definitely see the kind of same momentum and that kind of idea of just going hard and like going wild and it works every time, because that's kind of, I think to me, you have to keep that momentum going and keep us like that, our just that engagement just constant. And I think these movies kind of do that. And I think they do that by just going like really absurd or crazy. And I think it's just a skill that some directors do have and they do it really well. And I would put this in that class.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I there are so many, like I said, this is like the Chris Farley show. There's so many little weird details that are in this movie. Like for instance, the beginning, one of the logos in the movie is like 2001. It's like the opening of 2001 where you see like, you know, the moon and then like a bald head and then a soccer, you know, all lined up like in an eclipse or something. It's so bizarre.
Well, Dave, I do have a non Chris Farley little topic, that I can contribute. I'm holding.
Please.
So if anyone remembers the Rollerball episode, I was excited. One reason I was excited about that movie is because it was the first movie I dubbed as like the first capitalist thriller, and I thought that was really cool and exciting and unique and all that stuff. So for this movie, I definitely wouldn't go anywhere near that far, but I did think something I did notice and I thought was really interesting is that basically all of the Shaolin monks, they all went to like just working class jobs, basically. And I thought that was interesting because it showed the dynamic between maybe something like whether non-profit driven, so in this case like martial arts, versus a job. And then what I also thought was interesting was that the Golden Leg, his motivation throughout the movie was actually to just get rich. And I thought that was really funny and interesting. And I thought for a moment that's why when Sing changed, like, kind of rejected Mui, I felt like. I thought that was the movie like trying to say greed is kind of bad. That's what I thought. But if it wasn't doing that, then it's just more funny to me that this character actually, you know, he just wants to win at this game. So not even to really seem like to beat the evil guy. It was just to get so he could get really rich, because he has a line that's almost verbatim like, I'm gonna get so rich.
Well, that was like the coach, wasn't it?
Yeah, the coach. Yeah. Golden Leg. That's what he was called, right? Golden,
okay.
Yeah, so the coach, yeah, when he puts together the team and he sees this opportunity, as far as I could tell, all he really, really wanted to get at the end of this is
well, I think also it's probably like part of like respect maybe too. I don't know. Like that's...
But it seemed like they actually didn't go very hard on like the rivalry between the original rivalry between like it seemed like the movie didn't care so much about that and just cared about telling a cool like soccer like climax.
That's just a setup.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a thought, and I don't necessarily have the answer, and I don't know enough about any of these things, so of course I'm going to talk about it at length. There's a few things that are interesting, right? This movie's from Hong Kong. Kung Fu is like historically a big part of Hong Kong, like it is tied to culture there. Now Hong Kong at the time this movie came out, 2001, had just in the last three or four years just been given back from the British to China, but it was Hong Kong was always this like separate, you know, thing. And at this time, 2001, I wonder what like the like China's you know, economy, China's work. Like, is there, and this is like me, again, this is me saying, I don't know the connections, but there's interesting points here, which is that Kung Fu, Hong Kong go hand in hand, talking about capitalism, talking about these guys losing their Kung Fu, their Shaolin past, and having to end up in dead-end jobs, and that our hero, all he wants to do is get Kung Fu to the masses to show them how having it will better their lives.
Yeah.
You know, is there something there?
Yeah, there are some scenes that definitely kind of... Oh, go ahead, Nick.
Well, I think I like where Cody's going with that. I think that's another like interesting take, because it kind of shows the opposing forces of whatever you know, martial arts in this case might represent at large, and versus kind of just the working class and stuff like that. But the other thing I did think was interesting that Singh did was when he was arguing in the beginning of the movie to like that he thought martial arts could benefit everything. Every example he did was like utilitarian, like to help actually like the labor. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting too. Instead of like, you know, it was almost all of that aside from the woman who was tripping, but he was constantly showing like people do their jobs better, like trimming the hedges or what was the other one? I forget. I thought that was interesting too.
I think there's tripping, there's parking your car, there's trimming the hedges. Was there another one?
Catching a bus, like a bus comes by and they don't miss it, and then they miss the bus and then they like jump to the roof of the bus.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue, that makes them better at catching the bus.
That was so fun.
Well, there's also some points like you mentioned, like, you know, the class, almost like a class system type thing. Like in the beginning of the movie, like he's clearly shown to be like a down on his luck guy. Like his shoes are all beaten up, and like, you know, him and Mui look at some stuff on like the street, and like these people like brush him along, like, go move along, move, you street urchins. And like they touch the glass, gotta clean that. You know, some of that stuff is in the movie. I think that is an interesting point.
And you know what? To your point, Dave, I think it's also interesting because you could argue, I don't think the movie really ever takes a moment to explicitly say this, but it seems like maybe Singh's point is that by introducing this kind of like skill set, you can actually benefit the lower class by introducing this. And I think I don't think it really says that, but like considering what you said, I think it kind of could make sense. And I think that's also really interesting too.
Well, and like she also, like, at the end, like, you know, he gets his pumas in the middle of the movie when the team's doing well, and then at the end when everything seems like all's for naught, she hands him his dirty, you know, crappy looking shoes, but the ones with heart.
Yeah, they, you know, got, but they got the patches.
She put the little Hello Kitty like patches on there,
which are basically the original. What are those things you put on your Crocs called?
Gibbets.
Yeah, that's basically the original gibbets. This movie did it first.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, is why I really wanted you guys to watch this.
Ryan, like, how, you're a big shoe guy.
No.
You're kind of the resident shoe guy. How would you rate Singh's shoes?
Oh, those are gross. Those things.
What is the market value?
And they're good. I mean, they won a championship. They probably got a. They probably should put them in like the.
They belong in a museum, you might say.
Yeah, Chinese Hall of Fame or the Football Hall of Fame or something. But no, those are gross. They're so, like, they did such a good job. They make them so damn crusty looking. And
yes. Well, there's a great. I can't remember what he's looking at.
So,
I can't remember what he's looking at, but there's a moment when he looks down. I think maybe he's just looking at like really nice looking shoes, and then he looks down at his own. And there's a moment where like his big toe just sort of pops out of the top.
It's like, oh. Yeah, I think. Go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
Well, when I was watching the scene where he gives her his nasty ass shoes, I feel like I had a Dave thought. And I felt like, okay, that's really gross because she now is like holding those gross shoes. And if she puts them down and then goes back to making those buns, like she's going to have his shoe germs.
Don't worry, that bacteria will cook. It'll bake out. It'll be fine.
But people could taste her salty tears. If they could taste her salty tears, they could definitely taste the crusty remnants of his shoes.
No, there's a difference. Because, you know, the salt is a physical representation, but it's also more of a spiritual representation that the buns were no longer good because her heart wasn't in it. Now, I think, talking about those shoes, even going back to this, Singh, Mighty Steel Leg, that when we first see him, he is, you know, collecting cans. He doesn't have a job. That kind of...
he is collecting cans. I forgot about that.
That kind of, like, wandering... martial artist or like impoverished martial artist, right? It's common. I mean, even up to like, hey, Star Wars, Rogue One, right? That's what Chirrut Imwe is. He seems to just be a dude who's begging for money on the streets of Jeddah. Now, that is a common thing, right? It's like this wandering martial artist, because to be a, you know, top of the line head honcho of your art, your life is dedicated to Kung Fu. Your life is dedicated to this. It's not the pursuit of money. It's not the pursuit of class. It's not the pursuit of status. It is dedicating yourself to this art. And so when the world around you doesn't value that art anymore, you get kind of, you know, left in the gutters like Singh. And I think there's a big kind of tradition versus capitalism, modernism going on, right? Where it's like, hey, this is, if everyone still practiced the martial art, it would better everyone's lives for all these reasons. And he does kind of struggle with that in that scene when he looks at those shoes and he's like, dang, those look nice. Maybe I need to do something so I can have those, because what has tradition got me? I look down, my toe is showing through my shoe. And it's the return to that acceptance of, hey, those pumas I made, those were falling apart in the first match. But what ones served me well? The shoes I've been using this whole time that was repaired with the love and care of a fellow person.
Mm-hmm. You should be a film professor.
Dang. Take that.
The way that you just cracked this movie down.
Oh, shit.
Let me tell you guys.
You cracked this movie down so well. I have to ask, Cody, are you using any American drugs to enhance your film criticism?
Any American drugs? Yeah. Yeah. Tons of American drugs. No, that was a good line.
Yeah. I'll let Mike know he has a new partner at Filmversation.
Oh,
hell yeah.
That was great.
It's because I've changed you, right, Nick? Not because you're swapping out. It's because I've changed you. No, this
Nick got injured. Cody kicked the ball so hard
just
it
broke
blew
my leg.
The goalpost.
No, Cody just took the bat to my leg and just killed me.
A liberal arts education.
In 60 years, I'll be like, Cody, can I have my own podcast again?
And I'll say, no, you loser.
And then I'll get a ragtag team of
podcasters to then compete in the podcast Olympics.
And then it's Dave and me versus Cody and Mike. Oh, God.
I think we just found a new theme for Summer Film Fest Part 4.
It's us doing rival podcasts on podcasts.
No, it won't. Yeah, it won't be like summer films or anything. It'll be like really like heady, scholarly type movies. Like we'll be watching To Kill a Mockingbird or what else?
That's a scholarly movie. Is To Kill a Mockingbird.
I mean, movies that are talked about, you know, in film courses and stuff.
Yeah, we'll do it's that. We'll do Grapes of Wrath.
You know what I mean.
Oh God.
It's well, fun. I mean, what else is there to say about challenge soccer?
So much.
I mean, after Cody just broke it down, I mean, I don't know how it's going to be any better than that.
Well, that's okay. Everybody relax. I didn't like fucking. This wasn't the second coming of Jesus. It was a hypothetical. Like, here's an angle on it. Right?
No, it's a good angle.
It's just one of many angles.
No, it's cool. It makes me want to watch more of his stuff because I
same.
I know that he's like, yeah, just huge. He's like his movies. Like if you look at his list, it became the highest grossing movie in China, and then the next one, highest grossing movie in China. And then if it's crazy looking at like the top grossing movies in China, because it's like The Mermaid's now like number like 14 or something, and everything after or before it came out after The Mermaid, because their film industry's
is booming,
yeah, popping off down there. Over there.
Watching Shaolin Soccer now actually made me want to go back and watch at least The Mermaid again, because when that was in 2016, like I said, I saw it in the theater and I just did not really even understand. It was just too wacky for me. I don't.
Well, I think a lot of people think that too. Like it hit in China real well or something.
Yeah, it is kind of bonkers, but I think at least now that I know. For some reason, I feel like now that I've seen Shaolin Soccer, I'll have a better just fluency of his style and stuff like that, and I think I'll get it better.
Yeah, you'll have a context.
Exactly. So I'm interested in seeing some more stuff, because I think Shaolin Soccer is just so fun, like such a fun movie, and it's I do wonder if for the longer cut, yeah, you might get some more information, but I wonder if it might feel longer, like you might feel that length, because it does seem like a significant time, like 20 plus minutes or something.
Yeah.
So that feels like it could be, because right now it just kind of it's a banger.
One of my favorite beats, just because it hadn't been mentioned yet, and I want to mention it. It's early on, and it was like I think it was the first big laugh where I'm like, oh, okay, this movie's like doing something. And it's it's the scene where Singh is telling Golden Leg about how kung fu can change your life. And we get that flashback, and it shows this like wise Shaolin master training and stuff like that. And then it cuts back to the street, and Golden Leg is in the Kung Fu master gear and rips off the wig and mustache, and he's like, "Enough of that!" I was just like, "That is so good, so funny." And it's like that, yeah, it's like okay, these
it's kind of like Airplane a little bit.
Yes,
like,
it's 100% a parody movie, which is what I was like, kind of like grokking, and I wonder. Obviously, this movie did gangbusters, in China. I kind of have this question where, is this a really good parody movie? Because like all those movies, right, there's all those references. And you think about the parody movies we have coming out of Hollywood, and like maybe two of them ever have been great. Mostly they're like, okay. And I wonder if there's two things I always wonder about when you watch a foreign film is there layers that you're not getting as a non-native speaker and a non like person of that culture. There's layers you don't get, but is there also things that you're like forgiving of because you're not as aware of them? But I think this is just like such a successful version of a parody movie of a sports, a sports parody essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. I think, and I think just it being pretty broad as far as like the kind of Looney Tunes kind of comedy and his reference points that seem like they're, you mentioned E.T., Jaws, and Saving Private Ryan are all referenced in this movie.
There was a moment that reminded me of RoboCop when they're all like assaulting the goalie at the end, and he's like,
"Oh yeah, yeah."
Like I was thinking of Murphy's death in RoboCop. Like he's just getting massacred. Like I was like, "Is it, like you mentioned that violent cut?" Like I'm wondering, like in the violent cut, does this guy just literally blow apart? Like,
well, that thing that when the goalie in our we even mentioned he's dressed as Bruce Lee, but and like he's like stopping that guy from going, and then he gets like knocked down, and he fucking like basically kicks his head off, kind of thing. It's pretty brutal when he flies through that goal and like hits like the bleachers in the back. It's pretty gnarly.
He like explodes through like some wood or something too. Like, yeah. There's a lot of scenes of people exploding through barricades,
walls and stuff.
Yeah, I know. Well, and just speaking to that, like the final. DBZ moment where he goes Super Saiyan, and like him and Mui combine their forces. Like she combines like the chi, her chi, and like all the dust and all swirling. And basically, we should mention that if anyone watching this picked up, I'm sure someone picked up on this, that apparently Avatar: The Last Airbender was heavily influenced by this movie in the way that they like move their hands around and form their chi powers and all this stuff. Because I was thinking of Avatar: The Last Airbender when she's like forming all this stuff at the
end. That would make sense because they have the same they have the same common lineage, right? They're both pulling from kung fu and martial arts and real
just
martial
like
arts.
The leaves, yeah. It's like just like that's what you're supposed to be imagining is if you're doing, I'm guessing if you were doing kung fu in those kind of poses and moves and stuff, is that you're moving the air, moving the earth around.
But we mentioned RRR earlier. Like I had a big RRR moment at the very end when he kicks the ball and like, not only does the goalie of the opposing team like fly through, and if you noticed, all of his clothes apparently fly off as he's falling through the through the goal.
Oh, yeah.
But you also see all of the entire evil team fly through the goal. They all get burst through, and the goal itself explodes, and it's like a shockwave goes out, and there are a lot of shockwaves in this movie. But like the movie kept upping the ante, and just it works on so many levels. It's a parody film, like, and just I loved it. It's a mark of a good movie when after you're done watching it, you say to yourself, I want to watch all of this guy's movies now.
Yeah, pretty fun stuff. Can't think of any other little bits. So many.
Oh yeah, it's nonstop Bit City, man. It's 88 minutes of pure bit. It's
my egg, my eggs. Like that part got to me.
Oh god, that was when he's sipping the egg like off the shoe.
Oh my god,
those fucking shoes got a lot of work. Damn.
But it was funny when they did get like the Puma stuff because it felt like Puma was there were at least three logos on the screen at all times. Like for it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was cool. They were I love that the first team that had the wrench in his freaking butt like ends up they want to join afterwards and stuff. Such funny costuming of that tall guy that was like the leader of that kind of thug team that they first play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that the comedy is so funny too. And when the first professional game they play. And how, like, right at kickoff, they're scoring goals, and the other team's like, what?
Yeah,
like,
they don't. This isn't what's real, happening? Right? What's happening? Yeah.
Like, that just, it's so funny because it's just like, it's like quiet, too. It's just like the way that it's done and shot, and the sound design is so funny right
now. Well, it's so great, too, because a lot of the comedy doesn't even rely on crazy soccer antics, like, you know, crazy powers. Like, at the very end, for instance, when the guy who can harness his chest chi or belly chi, whatever you want to call it, he gets on his phone and he calls someone like a character we've never seen or heard of before. Yes. And he's like, hey, I just want you to know, like, I love you. And then it's like, I'm so-and-so's husband. I guess I'll tell her the message.
No, he says, tell your wife.
Yeah.
Tell your wife that I love her.
It's so funny.
And we, mind you, again, I want to repeat, we've never seen that in the movie up to this point. It just happens out of nowhere. And you're like, what?
That's kind of, that is a perfect, like, encapsulation of why I think you don't ever need to see anything that took place before the start of this movie.
That could, nobody that's a good point.
It, so why do
that's
it,
a good point. You
know? It's like, no. That's all a you know, movie before this.
It almost, you know, yeah, that's a good point. It almost enhances the comedy of the movie, and it's so Looney Tunes-ish is that you crack the movie for me, Cody. It makes it funnier that there is no backstory. That they go so hard on this stuff, and you got to assume that there's like a lot of layered backstory, but it doesn't even matter.
If there was backstory to each of those things, would they be funny? Because as they are in the movie, they're
funny. Yeah.
But if there was a setup and then a thing, then it's like, no, that's just an arc. Arcs aren't necessarily jokes. Yeah. Jokes are setups and punchlines. This movie's just all punchline because the setup is these guys are just like miserable.
Like that call joke wouldn't be a joke if he was calling
it'd just be
someone.
Exactly. Yeah. You nailed it once again.
And Dave, you know, as the resident expert on comedy, I can verify that what Cody and Ryan are saying is true. So you can trust us.
Yeah.
You know what was important? We should have seen who drew no peeing on the wall on the wall.
Yeah, in Shaolin Soccer episode 1, The Phantom Piss Menace, there's somebody, you know, we see that it was actually, you know, the same guy who was like, hey, get away from the shop's window. That guy, his job is actually also to be like, stop peeing on these walls. In this presumably totally opposite section of Hong Kong.
Well, we mentioned how absurd this movie is. I love how Golden Leg, the coach, is walking around, he's downtrodden, he's like, oh man, like, it turns out that the guy I thought was going to lead me to success, like, he can't control it. And then he finds the can later that he kicked as a sign of his force. Oh, and yeah, it's like in the wall. He takes it out, the wall crumbles, and suddenly you realize, oh, like, there's Golden, like, there's the guy, he's right in front of me.
That's
like,
a cool reveal.
Happened upon, like, where he was. It was so funny.
There's some really, there's like two moments that are very like, whoa, I kinda did that. It's like, you know, there's the Matrix thing when he first is kicking the crap out of those guys and he kinda does like the ball around him, but the pose is so crazy when he's like,
oh yeah,
is like his foot is like over here, you know? And then it did another one when they all get their powers back and everyone's frozen in like his place, but the camera's moving through them all and it's done so well. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, that is a really, really cool shot. And I like, I think my favorite guy is the goalie. He's just like holding the goalpost and he's floating basically. Like you said, it's not like a freeze frame or anything like that. It looks cool.
Yeah, they're just all frozen just perfectly, but the camera is passing through them all. It's so cool.
It's one of those oh shit moments because it's like, oh shit, their powers are awakened. Like,
I know, but it's kind of throwaway at first because they're just like, oh, we got our powers back. Sweet. But it's done
the same.
So cool.
It's the same way I felt in RRR. Spoilers for RRR if you haven't seen it. When he brings, like, you know, there's like that convoy of trucks that he bursts through the palace gates through, and then they like slide open. You're like, what's going to happen? And then that's when all the animals like jump out of this thing, and you're like, what?
You know, Dave, you keep bringing up RRR, and I feel like I have to mention that they both elevate in very drastic ways, and it's, you know, it's. It's past the point of realism, but RRR does it in a very badass way, and Shaolin Soccer does it in a very funny way. Shaolin Soccer, it's like, I, you know, yes, they both are unrealistic in the way they amp up these special effects and these ideas and stuff, but I feel like RRR the whole time is meant to make you just like start pumping your fist. You're like, yes! And Shaolin Soccer, well, I guess, you know, it has some of that, but everything serves to enhance a joke. It all serves to enhance a laugh.
Sure.
Yeah,
I guess what I'm getting at is, like, it reminded me of RRR in the sense that it somehow kept topping itself. It kept doing crazier and crazier things. And I'm like, well, it's not going to get any crazier than that. To be clear, I think RRR is the undisputed king of this because that movie somehow does that over the course of like 3-something hours. It keeps topping itself. I remember thinking in the halfway point of that movie where I'm like, oh, this could be the end of the movie. I mean, it was such an amazing climax. It's not going to get any better than this. Oh, there's still half a movie left. Okay. So in that sense, RRR is the undisputed king of elevation.
Well, I'm really glad we did this episode on RRR too.
We really should.
You got him, Nick.
Kick his ass into the
fucking goal, man.
you're naked now.
Blow his
I just kicked your clothes off.
I love that.
This is called the strip kick.
Well, does anyone have any closing thoughts on Shaolin Soccer?
I was trying to see if there was any, I don't know, like sequels or anything like that. And I guess there was a manga kind of made afterwards and crazy. Yeah. But I guess, isn't there a soccer anime? They came up before this, or
there is a soccer anime.
There's a bunch. There's one that's really popular right now called Blue Lock. It's like Battle Royale plus soccer. So it's like they get 100 players, they put them all in a super facility, and it's like one of you is going to become the best, the rest of you will die or not. I don't know if they'll actually die. I watched 20 minutes of the first episode, so I can't comment.
Yeah, it's kind of a soccer's a pretty popular sport. Crazy. And they should do this and maybe Americans will get on board.
Well,
there's more of this going.
What's this was a thought I had where I was watching it and I'm like, this is like NFL Blitz Like, if NFL Blitz happened, then my thought was, why the fuck has there not been an NFL Blitz movie? Why have we not had a football movie where people are throwing fireballs and tackling things into the dirt? It's a no-brainer. It's so, we see it here, and it's so good. So if it's Shaolin soccer, what would be the blank football? Is it like wrestling football? Because, you know.
It's the XFL, bro.
XFL, yeah.
Cody has left the stands here. He's left the press box. He's not.
And I'm coming down there to kick your ass. No.
And I'm pretty sure the XFL was owned by Vince McMahon,
yeah, Vince
wasn't
McMahon
it?
Vince McMahon did that, yeah.
Right, but what the martial Rock, too, art right? or what thing replaces Shaolin that makes it?
Oh. I would think like for American football, it would be like something like American Gladiators.
Okay.
Like some mix.
Interesting.
Of just
it's
more
guns.
Brutal.
It's guns.
I don't know about guns, though.
Unfortunately,
I imagine steel.
You know,
steel. So like maybe like instead of like, you know, spikes on your helmet and spiked shoulder pads and maybe spikes on the ball or you know the ball is wrapped in barbed wire and you have to catch it barehanded. And speaking of this sport, we actually already have it in where I live.
Oh,
here in Apocalypse Town.
Yeah, yeah.
Sick. I'm down to go check out a match. Yeah.
Yeah, and you get to the first time is free. You get to play for free.
Oh, you have to play. Oh no.
To watch, you have to survive.
Again. Yeah.
I'm just bummed I didn't watch it when I was a kid. But
yeah, this one would be a good one to discover as a kid. Well, I mean, is it safe to say it recommends across the board Shaolin Soccer?
Oh yeah, 100%. This movie's perfect. It's amazing.
Can I throw a me too. Can I throw a quick little thing I was noticing looking at Stephen Chow's his filmography?
Is it related to RRR?
No.
All right.
Not at all. So I was looking and I was like, you know, he acted in a ton of stuff, of course, and he's only directed about 10 movies or 12 movies or so, but
great audio hearing Ryan count. One
and
to 12.
Anyway,
best part of the show.
And anyway, so I was looking at his producers, and he has Dragon Ball Evolution as producer only. And I was like, oh wow. And so I was looking, and it looks like he was approached to direct it, and he decided not to, and he just came on as executive producer. It looks like, but it went through a lot of hands. Or it eventually landed on its director.
Watching Shaolin Soccer and now thinking of that Dragon Ball Evolution movie, I can't imagine what a disappointment that must have been to Stephen Chow. Because you can imagine. So, Stephen, you know, like we've said several times that there are a lot of Dragon Ball Z-looking moments in this movie. Like, can you imagine a Stephen Chow-directed Dragon Ball Z movie?
Yeah.
It'd be insane.
Yeah. It looks like it's went through a lot of hands. Brett Ratner shit. I don't know.
Brett Ratner?
It just kind of fell, but he was one of the first people approached in 2002 for it. So,
makes sense.
And just kind of got stuck on the as a producer. Anyway, RIP, Dragon Ball Evolution.
Yeah, it's great to have that discussion on this Dragon Ball Evolution episode.
No, I'm just saying, it was just interesting, because I'm just like, Stephen Chow, I want to know more about this guy. He's funny.
We're really branching out on this episode.
I see. I actually paid Ryan to bring Dragon Ball Z up so that I could get the heat off of me for all this RRR talk.
Dave has seen two foreign films, Shaolin Soccer and RRR.
Hold on one sec. I usually say what the next movie's going to be. I got to look because I don't remember off.
While you're doing that, Nick, okay. Recommend?
I recommend Shaolin Soccer. It's so much fun. Put this on and enjoy.
Well, you know, it's fitting that we brought up that whole capitalism talk and all that, because the next movie we're going to watch for the Hot Dave Summer Film Fest, the Summer Games, deals all about money, strategy, Moneyball. I'm sorry, that was the worst transition ever.
It's like, does it hurt you to say it?
I thought you were like,
I know.
Moneyball.
It was like Dave realizing he doesn't know what the movie's about at all. So he's like, it's about money and sport ball.
And ballers.
The fucking title is Moneyball. That's all he knows about it. If there's money involved.
Well, see, here's the reason why I'm all about that kung fu life now. I don't live that life
yeah,
anymore.
Right.
So it's hard for me to express those things.
Yeah, you've retired from
capitalist
society.
I thought you had
society.
A stroke when you said that.
You know, it's kind of a similar story. It's really like, what if in Challenge Soccer, so, it's like, what if we bring kung fu to the masses, it'll make things better? What if we just brought math? That's what this movie's about. So,
I was gonna say basically the same exact thing that Ryan said. Yeah, but I was like, how do we use our profit motivation to maximize a baseball team?
Yeah. What if we just
Nick, you are going to be on that episode, right?
I think I have to, right?
You have to, because you're all about spreadsheets and data.
God, yeah. I think,
this is a data movie, basically.
It's been a while since I've seen that, but I don't remember if we get to see like Excel or in action or anything like that.
Oh, Excel gets a really good hero shot in the movie.
Excel is as prominent in that movie as Puma is in Shaolin Soccer.
Oh, yeah. It's like a slow motion scene of a guy typing an Excel formula.
Yeah,
like
it's insane. And he's just sweating.
A sweat drop is so heavy that it types a key.
Yeah, yeah.
It falls from
the key. It hits the enter and it fucks up the formula for the whole spreadsheet. Oh my God. Real quick, I need to go back to something. David, you said you're not about this capitalism lifestyle anymore. You're about kung fu and soccer. So who's taking over as manager of the store? You have to name him right now because you just said that you're not in this life anymore.
Yeah,
I mean it's got to be you.
I don't
want to
be the manager
way.
Of the store.
You, what? I guess you could turn it into like a nonprofit, right?
Perfect. So yeah. Okay. No, that's good.
Yeah.
It's
okay,
a co-op.
Yeah.
It's a co-op.
Yeah. We all. Plus, it's all donation.
Plus, Dave, it gives you a tax write-off. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Right.
Ah. Okay.
Who's all collecting right. taxes in the? Are you? Is it me?
I see.
And
your
what's
game.
Our money going well, toward? There's no roads.
Listen, Cody, I'm sick of how smart you've been this episode. Okay, you just keep calling everyone. You just keep breaking everything down perfectly and exposing me time and time again. Okay,
that's the problem of us people who spent time in ivory towers. You know,
you've seen so much of the wastelands. You have too much wisdom.
Yeah, my brain's too big.
Well, when we return, we'll be back with all the Excel formula spreadsheet action you can handle in Moneyball.
Money ball.
Hey, this is Dave from a pop. No, that's stupid. I don't know why I started that place.
Hey, this is Dave.
It's not like anyone in the movie talks. Is like
join the soccer team.
So far, have you been doing a different like put on sexy voice for every one of
no,
these? Just like,
that's why.
Hey,
why
it's hot, Dave. Hey, it's hot, Dave. It's me, hot Dave.